I'd like to ask Jason Kerman to come up and lead us in prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, and we ask your blessing, and we ask that your will be done in everything that happens tonight, these proceedings, and for each one of these candidates out here on the floor, and those of us who will be voting for them, we pray that your will be done. We ask for your hand of guidance and leadership in everything that's done in our form of government, which we truly believe is blessed by you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Johnny Powell, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good deal. Thanks, Johnny. Well, let's see. I'd like to introduce special guests. I believe Bill Burke is in the room. Bill, our state representative.
Senator. He got promoted.
Yeah. Judge Dan Bryant, you can stand over there. His opponent, Chris Nadbolic. Did I get it right? We have John Sugg running for DA. We have Kathy Prather, our treasurer. And Laura Whiteside. Treasurer Josh Reardon, running for County Commissioner, District 3, and Lori Bees. I guess we're just going to open it up for the candidates to speak and answer questions. Does anybody volunteer to go first?
I might as well, Howard. Usually do anyway. So. Someone's got to break the ice.
John said.
I'm not going to bore you all because you already saw the debate, and I've talked to this group, I think, two or three times now. I'm going to just ask for your support in this election. My opponent is not here again. I don't think he's ever come to meet this group. I don't think he comes to many things. I don't know if it's a respect issue or why he won't come to this group, but he's never been here. I have been to this meeting and this group since its origination, the very first meeting on. I would ask for your support, but not just your support. I think, who voted today? So there's... I think we have a fifth of the total number of people that have voted in this county in this room right now, because only 250 people have voted in this 250...
500
today. Okay.
There was 240 on one machine, 239 on the other side. I figured there had to be at least another, 10 people, 20 people who showed up after I did it.
Okay. So 500 out of 13,000 registered Republicans in Otero County. Pretty pitiful. And so I'm not just asking for you guys to vote for me. I'm asking you to find 10 people that you know, get up, get them to the polls. If they need a ride, have them call me. I'll find them a ride. I don't care how they get there. I just need them to vote.
I'll drive them.
I won't subject him to that, but I'll.
Hey!
I'll still get
You're
him.
You're in a church.
I'll still get him a ride.
That was wrong.
Listen, I've got signs with
you. You just lost
today.
My vote.
Yeah, right. I have signs. No. I have signs here today. If you can take a sign, a yard sign. I've got, I think, 55 yard signs on the back of my truck, which means they're not doing any good in the back of my truck. Nobody's seen them, so I'd much rather have them out. If you've got a business, know somebody who has a business, have a house, somewhere, anywhere you want to put a sign, come see me. The other thing is this. If you're on Facebook, we released our very first commercial today. It's about 5 minutes in length. I'd ask you to look at it, not just look at it, but share it. It's also on YouTube. I will email links. If you're not a Facebook person, I'll email a link to you so that you can see the video. I think it shows that you've got a very, very stark difference between the two candidates for this race. I'm confident that if the people get out and vote and they do their civic duty, that I'm going to win this race. And we're in the home stretch, so I just ask for your continued support. Thank you all.
Before the next candidate gets up, I want to say something very quickly. A lot of you know that I do, I really study the turnout statistics of how many people come out to the various elections. In not this year's, but if you go back three school board elections ago, the turnout was like 5.7 for the school board election. The next one after that was 1.6 or somewhere around there. Then this year when we had that school bond, I think it actually got up to like 4.6, 4.7. If you look at the turnout last few years, the average turnout, not counting the 2014 election, average turnout is about 12% for municipal elections in Alamogordo. In that 2014 where I ran, Susie ran, Robert Renshaw ran, we actually got it up to about a 19.54. I haven't studied what the primaries are, but what you just heard about how many people have done the early voting, that ought to tell you something right there. So there's two points to make here. Number one, you need to go vote. There was one final race I wanted to make a decision on, and I'll be hearing those candidates tonight. So I'll get to make that decision tonight. And then I'm going to go vote tomorrow, and so is my daughter, who, by the way, did her first vote in the municipal election this year. So that was her first try voting. Good job, kid. 18 years old, you know, calling her out. You voting is important. It is 10 times as important that you post on Facebook, at the very least, that your friends need to vote. As I say on my Facebook page, I don't want you to think like me. I just want you to think. I want you to choose a candidate and go vote for them, whatever they may be. And so I cannot tell you how important it is, because that's the numbers that frustrate me. Isn't when somebody necessarily wins or loses. It is how many turned out. And that's what I need. I would like you guys to think about. Thank you very much. Now, allegedly. Okay, early voting in Otero County is horrendous. It is abysmal. I mean, you'll get, depending on which district you're talking about, you'll be looking at 100, 200, but what are we up to, 500 now, Lori? That's amazing to me, but that's Otero County wide. Am I correct?
Yes.
So I concentrate my study at the, up until this point, I've been studying just Alamogordo. I haven't expanded to Otero County. But one of my huge projects to do is I'm actually going to do a peer-reviewed paper on since 1990 to now of every district, whether it's DA's district, state senate, whatever it is, every district, every demographic. I'm going to take censuses, overlay it with voting, overlay it with all the districts, because what I'm interested in seeing is economically, are there pockets of minorities, are there pockets of low income? As an example, you look at Alamogordo District 5. Their turnout in this in the municipal election was 7.6% turnout. Okay, citywide it was 13.3. Most of the nearest district was 12.4. Okay, so you got to ask yourself, why is District 5 so low? Okay, well, if you just look at the demographics. That is historically back in the days where certain minorities were only allowed to live on the other side of 10th Street. That's where they lived. Okay? So when you look at Chihuahuita and that area, and you look where District 5 goes out to Walker Road and Airport and everything else, that's the low-income area. And then the high-minority area, just looking at census data, demographics, etc. So my thesis is just that, is that the low income and minority areas are not well represented. That's my idea. Well, now I'm going to go back to 1990, pull all the state records and everything, get all those numbers, look at all the districts, but then, because so many districts overlap, Bill's district goes all over the place, the judges' districts, DAs, they overlap each other. Once I've got all that data into a spreadsheet, then I have to overlay census data and a map so that I can see what pockets end up overlapping with each other to get where I can draw a line around an area. So you had a theory on early voting versus the voting on the day.
I go by a couple of people in my family, my mother being the main one.
Right.
She's 87 years old.
Right.
She's on the ball. She's fine. She does not believe in early voting. She said, vote on election day.
I will say, and this is just strictly my own opinion, a lot of people feel that way more nowadays than before, and it's because of the 24-hour news cycle that we have, that the day before the election, suddenly you find out the guy's got three extra wives or whatever the case may be, that they hold to that last minute because they know early voting and absentee voting is the low turnout and game day is game day, okay? So, and with that cycle, we're used to 5 minutes before, as you're standing in line to go vote, you're still reading Fox News to see if something broke about Trump or whatever. And so that, I think, has become a huge impact on the wins. And that's something I'm going to include in the study is absentee voting, early voting, etc. Now, what frustrates me even more, though, is 2 weeks after an election, as I'm posting, well, you elected Josh or you elected, you know, Bill or whatever. When I post that, somebody posts, we had an election? The heck has been, what have I been posting all over town? What are all these signs out there with dates? What is all that? You know, you've been sleeping under a rock. So that's my frustration, is getting the people out. I really didn't mean to be questioning. There's candidates need to talk, but I'll answer it if you...
Are you considering demographics, age?
Absolutely. I'm going to look at, if the census records it, that will be it. This is going to take me a year to do it. This ain't coming out next week. I got so many projects, but that is an end goal for me. And I'm going to be looking at the stats, Democrat, Republican, independents, all of it to see how it lines up. We all have opinions on it. I want to see what the facts are.
Thanks. Last question.
I think the senior center does that. Senior Center does do that.
Thank
I did
you.
Not mean
I always that. Wait until the election day. I'd like to ask Judge Bryant to come up and say a few words.
Thank you. Well, how is everybody this evening?
Blessed.
Am I not in the right place?
No.
No, the cameraman is... Do we have a technical issue?
No.
Okay.
I just wanted to move that table.
How's everybody this evening? It's good to be here. I spent the day in court today with mostly pro se domestic relations cases in front of me. And that was a great busy day in court. Do I need to speak up or move this around?
Yes, that'd be nice.
Is that better? Oh,
much.
Yeah, that's better. Now I sound like Julie's talking to me. Oh, baby, you're here. You made it from Cruces. I've spoken to almost every face in the room, I think, on other occasions, so I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time. I got here in 1976 on a trip. I was attending a couple of concerts in the area, fell in love with these mountains. Came back in August of 1978, sunk my roots deep in those mountains, and I don't plan on ever letting go. I've served as the county attorney almost literally continuously since the very beginning in August of 78 when I went to work in the DA's office. And I've practiced law here all of those years in a real busy civil and criminal trial practice. I'm excited to be serving you as your district judge over the course of the last 8.5 months. Real delighted about the work that we've accomplished and the progress that we've made. Our most recent quarterly report shows that up in Division III, we have 168% closure rate. That means we are closing 68% above the number of cases that are reopening and opening for the first time in our division, which means we're doing a great job towards reducing the backlog that some of you may have read about in the newspapers last summer when the position went vacant in June, and then we waited for all of the things to go to get it fulfilled. The one thing I told everybody then is that I would come to work, I would work hard, I would keep my nose to the grindstone, and I would keep it there and get the job done every step of the way. And so I'm pleased to be here. I want to ask you to consider me when you vote. I've got a Facebook page up. It's called Keep Dan Bryant District Judge. There's some information there about us. We have a new shipment of signs that arrived this week, and we've been getting lots of requests for those. And so if you want a sign, let us know. We'll get one to you. Let's see, what else? I think other than that, I ought to answer a few questions because I think everybody pretty much knows. Yes, ma'am.
You have a meet and greet Sunday from 3 to 5 at the ranch restaurant. Is that something?
There is a meet and greet on Sunday from 3 to 5 at the Ranchers in Rio do Sul. Very good. Thanks, babe. I thought you were going to ask me if I was going to be home for dinner tonight. So if there are any questions, I'll be happy to answer them. Miss Kathy.
Well, I was just curious since you brought that up. When you went to work in 1978 for the county, did the DA's office at that time represent the county as the county attorney? I know that's in the law, but I also know that we've not done that for years and years.
We did, and frankly, that's why Bob Doty hired me. And I was the fourth lawyer in the group, including Bob Doty. And so I was representing both Lincoln and Otero counties because the DA's office covers them both. And I was prosecuting criminal cases because even in 1978, there was more work than could be done, as you've heard about so often from the district attorney's candidates in this race. Great. Everybody always tells me I'm long-winded, and it's wonderful to be able to be brief. Thank you very much for having me. If I want to do what everybody else did, but I'm not going to do it the way they did because they really covered it, please vote. And please let your friends and neighbors know to vote. We want to have a great turnout in this election. In November, New Mexico is going to need a great turnout from conservative Republicans in order to do the things that are our goals in all of the races across this country. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jez. Would you like to follow that up?
Sure.
Mr. Ned Bollock.
Thank you.
Well, good evening to you all. And I was wondering just exactly what I wanted to say tonight. And one of the things I wanted to say was I have my voice. I've been fighting a cold for a few days. When I went to bed last night, I thought to myself, will I even have any kind of a voice to talk with at all today? And I do. So I'm thrilled about that. And that actually connects with me because I really am running on faith, basically. And every once in a while, I remember that I'm in a very nice church. And it connects with that in some way. I'm not one of the type of people that would say, I've always wanted to be a judge. The fact of the matter is, I've never wanted to be a judge. And I should have said, my name is Chris Ned Bollock. I'm running for district judge. My name is a little hard to pronounce because it's, come in, please. It's a little unfamiliar, but it's Ned Bollock pronounced like Carbolic. Hi, Diane. I never had a personal desire to be a judge, and I still don't, in a personal sense, have a desire to be a judge. I'm doing this because I think it's the right thing to do, and because I feel like it's just what I'm supposed to do. And maybe that has a meaning for you, you know, in a church like this. Some attorneys approached me about a year ago and said, Chris, we'd like for you to run. And I was surprised because it never occurred to me to run. I would think about it, then I would decide, nah, I don't need to do that. I'm a guy that has, I didn't just want to be an attorney, I always wanted to be a good attorney. So I've worked hard at trying to be good at what I do, which is mainly being a trial attorney. I've done over 70 criminal jury trials. Did a felony trial 2 weeks ago Tuesday in Carrizosa. And I would, you know, kind of talk myself out of it, and then I'd always come back, no, you need to do this. So anyway, that went on for about a year, and I decided, hey, stop fighting it. Let's do it. Let's get this done. I was an attorney in Oklahoma. I am from Oklahoma City. I worked for the Oklahoma Court of Criminal Appeals when I was in law school. I worked for the Oklahoma County Public Defender's Office when I was in law school. Actually represented people on a limited license to practice law. My favorite saying from there is people would always say to me, if I'm going to go to a real jail, I want to be represented by a real attorney. Well, that always made sense to me. I'll just throw an interesting thing about that Oklahoma City experience was in our misdemeanor court, we would have at least 100 people once or twice a week, and one third of them were prostitutes, and one third of them were drug users, and one third of them were domestic violence, and it was just the same from day to day to day. So it's a really interesting experience. So I, when I got out of law school in Oklahoma City, I practiced family law and criminal law. I had a public defender contract. But I wasn't getting trial experience, and that's what I always wanted to do. So I had an opportunity in 2009 to come here to Alamogordo and work as an assistant district attorney. And in one form or another, I've basically been doing the same thing. I was an assistant DA here. Now, you've never heard of me, probably, because you're not a criminal. If you're a policeman or a probation officer or a judge or another attorney or a victim, somebody in our business, or one of the court clerks, you would know who I am, but or you would know me. But if you're not any of those things, there's no reason why you would know me. I like to ask people just as something to connect us with. If you remember the 2008 or 2009, there was a standoff in Lower Cottonwood Canyon. Inga and Miguel Gutierrez, the Otero County Sheriff's deputies went out there to evict them, and Miguel and Inga were armed and ready to go, and they actually disabled one of their deputies' units. They had to bring in a SWAT team from Las Cruces. Miguel was shooting at the deputies to kill. He had an SKS, semi-automatic Chinese assault rifle type gun. Deputies were stationed up around with their 308 sniper rifles. Miguel committed suicide on the scene, I was one of the two assistant district attorneys that took that case to trial. The other one was Matt Wade, who's now the deputy district attorney in Lincoln County. I'm not griping about it, I'm just pointing it out. You can get online and read the article. It's still on Alamogordo Daily News, and it'll mention Judge Ritter, and it'll mention the defense attorney, Gary Mitchell, but we'll never talk about the assistant DAs who did it. So we were there, but you never hear about us, and that's fine. You know, our job is to serve and to try to get justice done and so forth. Judge Ritter sentenced Inga to 46 and a half years in Department of Corrections. So that was something that I did that's part of your history, but you just didn't know I was doing it. I have, in the course of my work, it's been almost exclusively criminal law in one form or another. When I was working for Gary Mitchell on the public defender contract in Lincoln County, when he lost that contract or gave it up, I went into private practice. So my office is in Ruidoso now, and I still do criminal defense, and I do civil rights litigation. And I do some family law and so forth. I've done myself as either a prosecutor or a defense attorney, I've done about 70 criminal jury trials. I've prosecuted or defended literally thousands of people since 2009. I'm an NRA certified firearms instructor, although I never taught the classes, so I'm not 100% sure my certifications are still current and good, but I've taken the classes. I was doing that back in 2000 and 2001, rifle, pistol, shotgun, personal protection, and home defense. I'm a real conservative. I've been a Republican for a long time. My party affiliation is not a matter of expediency. You know, I am a conservative. I'm a real conservative. I'm basically an anti-government conservative. I think the government should be as small as we can possibly, theoretically, humanly get it. So I've told you why I'm running for judge. I've told you what my background is. I would appreciate your vote. If you feel that there's any questions you'd like to ask me, I hope you'll ask them. If you want to corner me when this is over and ask me those tough questions, do it. I don't consider myself a real politician, and I'll tell you why. If you ask me a question, I'll tell you what I think, even if I know it's going to make you mad. Even if I know I'm going to lose your vote, I'll still tell you what I think. I just do that, you know. So if you want to vote for someone like me, here I am. And I appreciate the fact that you're here. It's an honor to be able to speak with you. It would be an honor to be able to serve you. Thank you all very much. Question? Yes, sir, please.
You talked about your qualifications and cases that you prosecuted.
Yes, sir.
Let's go the other direction towards, if you were to win, what is the element in your heart more that you think you're going to bring to being a judge? What do you want to bring to that outside of your qualifications?
There are two things that I think may be unique about me. One of them is I really, truly, sincerely could not give a damn less what your last name is. And that's part of my non-politicalness. I was in court. I'm not going to tell you where. It's not necessary to go into that. But I was in district court one time when I was an assistant DA, and I watched the judge sit there in court and brainstorm on the record with a defense attorney to see what could they come up with that they could get this case dismissed solely because of the last name of the defendant. And it made me sick to my stomach. I don't need this job that bad. There's no job I need that bad. The worst, I haven't drank. I don't drink and I don't smoke. If you do, God bless you. I'm not trying to, but I just don't. I haven't drank since 1971, I think it was. But on the way home that day, I felt like drinking because it was one of the most discouraging things I ever saw in my life. It makes us all doubt our process, who we are, how we do things, the viability and the integrity of being Americans and New Mexicans and so forth. You don't have to worry about that with me, number one. So basically, I think that. Yeah. Does that basically end?
Yes.
The other thing that I will throw in, some people have chided me for the fact that I have worked for different people. I've worked for the 4th Judicial District as a deputy district attorney. I've worked for the 12th Judicial District here as an assistant district attorney. I've prosecuted all the DWIs in Lincoln and Otero counties, and I was one of the three violent crimes prosecutors here all since 2009. I've worked for the 6th Judicial District. We had a lot of drug issues in Hidalgo County. It was some of the most interesting work I've ever done, and the public defender count. So the point in that is I have seen a lot of judges do their jobs. I'm not just sit here and watch these same three or four judges do the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. I have seen it done very, very poorly. And I've seen a couple of them do it really well. I believe that I am the person that knows how to move stuff through the court system. I truly, sincerely believe that I know how to do that and get it done so that we don't lose cases to violation of defendant's speedy trial rights. And I think that that's something important. So thank you for the questions, sir.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Any other questions that I can answer? Okay. Well, folks, I appreciate it very much. Thank you again.
Thank you. Lori Bees, would you like to go next?
This is think I have spoken to everyone in this room several times, and for actually a good amount of the past year or better. As you know, I'm Lori Bees. I'm running for District 3 County Commission. I do believe that I'm probably the best person for the job at this point. I've been going to the county commission meetings for over a year. I've been to all the side meetings, budget hearings. I've reported back to you about most of that. So you know that I've been there because I've been telling you about it for a good year now. So I have been spending a good portion of my time up in the mountains talking to the ranchers about their situation up there and the folks up in Weed. They're good people. They have a lot of concerns. I'm very involved in that situation, so I believe that I can actually see what's going to happen there and affect some change, working with the senators, state representatives, and the good people of Weed and surrounding communities to see if we can't get some of these things resolved for them so that they can get their cattle back on the water. One of the things that I actually said at the meeting last night was that it surprises me when people say things like, so we need to fence the cattle off of this Agua Chiquita because we need to save this habitat for these mice. This is prime habitat for these mice. So that's when my analytical mind kind of kicks in, and I have to say, how did that habitat become prime with cattle drinking out of that stream? If they hadn't hurt the habitat to begin with, and it's prime habitat now, what are you doing to destroy that habitat by not allowing the things to be in there that actually created the habitat that is so prime for these mice that are non-existent? So I have a big issue with that because I'm a logical thinker. I don't believe that we have a whole lot of that in government anymore. I definitely want to be that person who can bring that back to the table. I want to get information out to the people. I want to start roving meetings so that these people can get this information. I don't believe that it is necessary to ask all of these people in the mountain areas to come down to our meetings at 9 o'clock in the morning on a Thursday. And they have to leave work in order to do that, just like anybody else who wants to attend, and that's unrealistic. It's very simple to get in the car and head up there. I think my truck actually knows the way to go now. I could probably do it with my eyes closed. I'm not going to try that because that elk that jumped out in front of me last night was pretty big. And so I'm going to definitely make an effort to not close my eyes on that road. Blinking may not happen again. But I definitely think that it's time to put a new person in there and somebody who's not been in political office before. I think that it gives you an opportunity to start fresh and do the service for the people. And that is definitely what I want to do for the entire 4 years, if not eight, if I can get in there. So I would appreciate your vote. If there is any way that you can lock elbows with 10 of your best buddies and take them with you when you decide to go vote, that would be a great thing. If you do need a ride, I have a box trailer. I have a car trailer. I will haul them down there. I'll put straw on the back of it, and we'll give them a nice, comfortable ride. You just need to let me know, and I will be there to pick them up. So does anybody have... Right? Well, it's got rails, so I think we'll be okay. I don't think anybody will fall off. I'm a pretty decent driver, although I was noted to be relatively quick earlier today. So are there any questions out there for me? Yes, sir.
Can I ask you about the mouse thing?
Sure.
Is there any, is anybody discussing the possibility, for example, of an approach to the problem, like one approach being saying, yeah, we agree that the mouse needs to be preserved, it just doesn't have to be preserved here, let's move the mouse someplace else?
So,
or is anybody approaching it from the point of view of, if there's really all that many mice, where are all the natural mice predators, and maybe we need more cats up there? It will be a problem.
Right, and I'm pretty sure that there's a few barn cats up there that would really appreciate it if there were a few mice up there. The problem is that the science behind this mouse situation is foul. We had one person, a younger lady at the time, actually do a study on this thing some odd years ago on one mouse that she may or may not have actually found. And since then, they have kind of taken the ball and run with it. My personal opinion, this has nothing to do with the mouse. This has to do with the government doing what they want to do, when they want to do it, without your ability to do a dang thing about it. And I think that at this point in time, that we need to stand up and say enough is enough. It's time for government by the people, for the people, and stop having government crammed down your throat to the point where you can't get things done that you need to get done on your piece of property when you need to do it. So to answer your question, there are no mice up there. It's a bit like the EPA going in and measuring, instead of measuring in this area about your grass height being this high, they pick the area that they want to measure, and then they can say, well, this is prime location. It's overreach at its finest. There's really no science behind what they're doing other than to do it, you know. And we've got a lot of representatives and senators and Congressman Pierce, and I mean, they're all involved in this, and all of them are pretty much in agreement at this point that enough is enough. And we need to take a hard line on it. In fact, today, even in the county commission meeting, they're instructing the attorney to send a letter up to Tom Blaine's office and talk to him about that lovely meeting that we had up in Weed, that I firmly believe that he was coming down here to tell us a good story. I don't think anybody's ridiculous enough to actually show up in Weed out in the middle of nowhere and tell us a bad story without having some serious push to get you in there to tell that story. I think that he probably had every intention in the world of coming in and giving us a good story, and I believe that there was something that twisted that story to a different direction for personal reasons. So that's my belief, and that's just, you know, it's enough. I don't know what else to say about that. I feel like if I can get in there and work with the people who I've been working with already from the opposite side of this dais, that maybe I can start helping them find ways too. Sometimes it takes a fresh perspective. When you're pressed up against a glass, it's really difficult to see the spots. So, you know, you take somebody who stands back from it a little bit because they haven't been pressed up against a glass, and maybe I can find a new way. I'd like to think that I could, but I won't know until I get in there. So, does that answer your question?
So it's not that nice at all?
No. It really isn't. And if you look at the court case, because I have the whole thing on the desk and I've read through it, and if you start at the beginning and work your way up to where we are right now, they have literally gone from the way that a cow grazes and pulls the grass versus cutting off the grass when they take a bite of it, which is absolutely ridiculous, that is causing destruction of this land. So they started there, they couldn't prove that, they move on to trees, they move on to the next, you know, and so now they're on water and a mouse. It has progressed through these ridiculous scenarios until they get to something that really hits home, which is you can't survive without water, and neither can the cattle who are having to walk 10 miles and 6 miles to get a drink of water, because that's literally how much of this land that they've fenced off. And I learned that last night. You know, my understanding was that they had some breaks in the fence so that these cattle could drink. They don't. They have taken those breaks in that fence and closed them off. So what happens when you close off a 6 mile or 10 mile length of distance that any of the cattle have to move in order to get a drink of water? Well, you've now taken this grazing land right here and said, this is not grazing land anymore, because cattle aren't stupid. They're not going to go 10 miles back and then have to walk another 10 miles to get another drink of water. So you have basically eliminated all of this grazing land by doing what they're doing. And that's the nuts and bolts of it. Yes, ma'am.
This is happening all over the country, isn't it? With phantom animals and phantom environments being declared protected.
Well, I mean, it even happened in Northern California, where I'm from, you know, I mean, the spotted owl, and I know you guys were impacted by the spotted owl down here, too.
And
you know, and it.
Butterfly,
sure.
That 20 years ago.
So, I mean, it killed an entire logging industry up where I'm from, and, I mean, basically put that entire area into poverty. There's no other industry up there, and what? Well, in Northern California, now they grow marijuana or make wine, you know, before they had. Before they were cutting trees, you know, and it was a nice, clean industry, and there was a decent amount of money up there, you know, and I just don't see our good ranchers wanting to get into that industry. So this is This is not going to be beneficial for anybody. You start talking about a country that we're literally putting our people into a poverty third world situation if this continues to go this way. This is where we're headed. I mean, that's the reality of it. You know, and if you don't believe it, just start talking to your neighbors who are losing their jobs and having to rely on the government to support their basic necessities.
Yeah.
You know, we're not proud.
About how cows are going. Basically, they're just trying to run your dollars out.
You know, when you start talking about the way that cattle eat the grass off the ground, last time I checked, and I mean, I've driven a pretty good distance in this country, there's grass everywhere. And the cattle have been here, buffalo, bison, have been here longer than we have, and there's still grass. You know, if anything, the cattle industry is a better steward of land than humans. Really, look what we've done to the land. So I don't buy it. I think it's just another story. I think it's another way to get control. And I'm done with that.
First, you made a statement kind of flipped this a while ago that there are no mice up there. Is that just a statement to go along with, or is that a fact that there is?
They do not have proven documentation that there's mice up there.
So this is just that someone's gone in there and said, oh, that looks like prime habitat or something that doesn't exist, should it ever decide to exist there?
It's a bit like building a condominium for low-income families and setting it off to the side and saying someday, sometime,
right,
people are going to want to live in that, so you can't live there. And that's exactly what it is. They say this is prime habitat for this mouse, even though the mouse is not here. If the mouse was here, that's the place it would want to live, so let's preserve it.
Okay, then my second question would be, with my understanding, and Ronnie Reardon was here a few months back, mm-hmm. and he made some nice statements about how the forest is, and that the forest actually belongs to Carroll County. The federal government does not own the forest, that they have some management responsibilities in it that they've assumed upon themselves, and there's ongoing litigation between the county and such as that. At what point has the county commission, as the authority of Otero County, do we not wind up with another thing that went on in Washington, Oregon, where you have these ranchers standing here on the other side of the sheriffs and the federal government, that we actually have our county commissioners and our county sheriff standing here telling the federal government, no, you're not going to do this?
So there's a protocol, really, that kind of goes along with anything that you do with government, and we all know how quickly that moves along. You really have to kind of play the game by their standards, so to speak. So when Tom Blaine came up there and had a conversation with these people, it wasn't to, even though his charge as the state engineer is to protect their water rights, anyone's water rights, he did not do that. And he said that he couldn't, and then the doublespeak started happening, and he went back and forth based on the answer, and it was a mess. And the video is actually up in Facebook if any of you are interested, of that meeting, so that you can actually hear what he had to say. I will admonish you to disregard the fact that I'm standing in the background looking extremely unhappy, and I'll use the term unhappy because I don't want to say what I really look like, but I was pretty not happy. So when you start talking about standing up to them, you have to, when he came up there, he said not that he's going to protect their water rights, but that he was going to give them a permit. They can apply for a permit to bring that water out of the ditch to a location outside of this fenced-in area so that they can put it in a trough for their cattle to drink from. Problem is if you've ever noticed water in a ravine, everywhere outside of that is up. Okay? So that's the first problem. The second problem is that the Forest Service has put in these weir dams, which now they've kind of shifted their focus from saying that they were diverting the water to saying, well, it's erosion control. I'm not exactly sure how you can shift gears like that, but regardless of what they say that they have done, the fact remains that they were not permitted to do that. And nobody requires them to have a permit to do that, but they certainly require these ranchers to do that. And it's a double standard, and I have issue with that as well. So even at the county commission meeting today, they have instructed the attorney to put together a letter to Tom Blaine, the governor, the lieutenant governor, and the attorney general. So I made some phone calls after the meeting to make sure that people were aware that this was happening. Hopefully, our representatives will get a hold of the county so that we're not doing double work. I would hate to see them send a letter that could, I don't know, add sandpaper to an already open wound. I definitely want to make sure that everybody's on the same page and going the same direction, because it's incredibly important, and we're at a very critical point right now, because this is where the pressure starts happening. And it's unfortunate, but these ranchers are right. They shouldn't have to apply for a permit to do something that they already have the right to do. And it was never established how much it was going to cost to get these permits, even though I asked the question, it was not answered. And they shouldn't have to pay more money, and then pay more money to put their to put the pipes in and the pumps in, and then to come back later on, and what happens? Well, why isn't there any water in the trough? Well, you come back down here, and maybe the pipe has been crushed. I'm not saying that somebody would do that. I'm just saying the possibility exists, you know. And then there, it's a constant battle, and it just doesn't get any better the further in you go. But the problem is that you have to play their game. So everybody needs to apply for a permit, and just literally go into their office and just paper them with applications for these permits, so that we force them to make a decision one way or the other, and we'll see. You know, it's the best that we can do. I would say that pay attention to social media. There's going to be some more information come out, and we would really like to get as many people on board helping the ranchers as possible. So just stay tuned. We've got some stuff coming down the pipe. Any other questions? Yes, sir.
Do you have a name or a link to that video you mentioned?
Do you have it on yours, Mike? Because I looked on yours, and then I looked on the Gosses. Yeah, so Otero County Cattlemen's, and I mean, I can even share it to the Conservatives page so that it's easy for everyone to find, and we'll go from there. But, yes, sir. I feel like I'm not. Oh, were you raising your hand? No?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
There's five predators they haven't fenced out. Now, one of them is gone. The spotted owls are mostly up on the Mescalero now because it's properly treated. But there's feral pigs in that area. There's bobcats in that area, there's mountain lions in that area, and there's something called the Mexican Black Panther. And if you've never seen one of them up there, they're very reclusive. They'll shake you to your toes the first time you see it, but they're there. Okay, they haven't fenced any of the predators out, so
well,
it's actually against the cows.
But you bet. And I mean, that's very obvious when you go and you take a look at the fence, actually. It's very obvious what they're trying to keep out of there. And it's the very thing that has created the habitat. So it is, and it's obvious when you look at it. But trying to get anybody who isn't from here or hasn't been up there to go and look at it and actually see what these people are talking about is an act of Congress, so to speak. But it's difficult to get folks to actually go out there. It's way out there, and there's they don't understand it. You know that. There's a majority of people who think that their meat comes from Walmart, you know, and so just to get them to go out to something this rural and it is daunting. So it's just going to take there's an education process that needs to happen along with everything that's happening behind the scenes to try to get this rectified, you know. It's just going to take a lot of education to the public and different ways that we can get the information out there. So on top of asking you to vote for me, I would also like to ask for you to support the ranchers, because regardless of whether I'm in there or not, they're going to need help.
Thank you.
So they're doing the same thing they did in California.
They are. But I will say that the ranchers up here are very level-headed. They absolutely do not want to have another situation like Oregon. They just don't. This is not the direction they want to head. They really want to this to come to a peaceful end and to the benefit of everybody, because not only are they taking the water away from the cattle, but downstream, because they were taking care of that watershed for everybody. So this all, as they say, trickles downstream. So it's not just about cattle at this point. It's about private property rights and things that they can take from you if this is successful as well. Any more questions? I'm sorry, Josh, I didn't mean to monopolize the time. So thank you.
Josh, if you... What's that?
All right. And Lori used it all. So, my name's Josh Reardon, running for the District 3 County Commission seat. Talked to most of you guys. Represented probably some of y'all if you were living in the city. But a little bit about me. Been here my whole life. Was born and raised here. I have four generations of family that still live here. My grandmother's side of the family homesteaded up here in Mayhill in these mountains. Her grandparents... all that. So been here for a while and know a lot of the issues. A little more about me. I've run my own business here in town for 14 years. I started it from scratch and built it to what it is now. I served as the city commissioner of Alma Gordo for District 4 from 2009 to 2014. Got out of office there, and that's part of the reason why I'm running again is I kind of miss being in public service. I enjoyed the part of have a constituent that had an issue, and if I was able to listen to them and then go in there and fix it, make it right, that was the rewarding portion of this job. You know, all the politics side of it isn't very good, but being able to help the constituents with their issues is a very rewarding experience. Also today in the county commission meeting, like Lori had stated, you know, the county is working proactively with the state engineer trying to force those guys up there to do what's right. I think this problem with the Forest Service is already festered to the point that it's going to take the state, the county, and the federal level all banding together and fighting this. You know, I know a couple years back, Steve Pierce and some of the county commissioners actually went up to the forest and started cutting trees just to prove the point that, hey guys, this is our forest, we need to keep it healthy, we need to do this. And the federal, you know, the Forest Service fought them every step of the way. So, but I am willing to continue that fight. Any of y'all that know me, I'm very vocal. I'm not afraid to make people mad. I'm not afraid to stand up and talk about what's right. Did it for 5 years when I was in the city commission. Made a lot of enemies, but made a lot of friends. So as far as the state level goes, Senator Burt's back there. I have a pretty good relationship with him. I have a pretty good relationship with Senator Griggs and Yvette Harrell and Rick Little. And I met a couple more of our state representatives from other areas the other night up in Pinon. I think it was Townsend and Azell. We got some contact information from them. Told them a little bit of what I'm about. Starting to build those relationships with those guys. So but that's basically it. So is there any questions? Of course he's got a question. He's always got a question.
I'm not hitting everybody. I'm being selective.
Right.
As I know, as you mentioned, you'd been a city commissioner for a long time.
Yes.
And from talking with you personally, I know that you were one of the leaders of the movement to get the Family Fun Center up and passed back in 2014. I have two questions for you.
Okay.
One is, what was your intent? Let's pretend it was actually built in a timely fashion. Okay, what was the intent, ignoring the fiasco that you guys had back then? Why should we have the Family Fun Center? Briefly tell us that. And then the second thing is, I know you've been to some of the recent meetings on that. Why do you think we are where we are? Even though we had good intent in the beginning, this is a train wreck.
It is. The original intent of the Family Fund Center, this is a city issue, not a county issue, but my original intent when I asked to put the bond on the ballot was to provide something, a quality of life type of deal for the residents of Otero County and Alamogordo. When I was a kid here, we had several grocery stores, we had several bowling alleys, we had stuff to do. You go out now, if you're my age and you want to go out, you got Chili's, Applebee's, and Buffalo Wild Wings. And then if you want to get beat up, I think you can go to Palmside. You know, there's not a whole lot to do here. And that was the intention. You know, when I was in office, a lot of the doctors that came here said, you know, my wife's not happy. I like it here. I like being secluded. I like my mountains. But my wife and kids aren't happy because there's nothing for them to do here. So, you know, as a city commissioner, you try to do things that benefit your quality of life. And that was my intent, was to improve the quality of life of Alamogordo. And it has turned into a train wreck, just like Chez over here has said. The former city manager drug it out. I actually lost the election in 2014 by 18 votes, so I wasn't there to see the project through. Nobody on the city commission had the passion for the project that I had. I mean, I put four and a half years of work into it to get that bond passed. And they've allowed it to be where it's at right now. And here we are 2.5 years after the bond is passed, and we're in jeopardy of losing the whole project. And I agree with Chez. You know, we were talking earlier. I think there's about a 20 to 30% chance that this thing may get built, but more than likely it will probably go away. And that was their intent. Some of the powers that be in town have manipulated the system, and they know that if it gets to December of this year, that the land reverts back to the guys that donated it, and that the project is dead. They'll pay the bond off, and it'll never get built. So, you know, it really makes me mad. I have been attending the meetings, trying to get this persuaded to move forward, but I honestly feel that it's a done deal. So,
yes. Just to be clear, I asked that question. I know it was a city question, but I wanted you to explain what your intent was, because that kind of thing is going to take place. If you become a county commissioner, we've got the judicial complex and other things, other huge projects that are going to come up, and I wanted to get an idea where you were going with that particular project.
Honestly, if I'd have known that it turned into this much of a mess, I'd have never worked on it. I mean, it was, I've never seen a project that so many people, you know, in the city, it passed 2-1 the second time around. It almost passed the first time around. It was 118, 120 votes shy of passing. The second time around, it passed by a 2-1 margin, or almost 2-1. So it's obvious the people in Alamogordo wanted the project. You know, a lot of people were bad-mouthing because it was a jail bond, which it made your property taxes go up. But what a lot of people didn't look at was that the way we restructured the bonds, we had staff look at it, your property taxes didn't go up. The one that made your property taxes go up was the bond for the road over there on First and Florida. You know, that other additional $4.5 million. And it made them go up like 25 cents per hundred. I mean, it's very minute amount of money. So it didn't cost you too much more on your property taxes for this. But it is sad that the city commission has allowed it to get to where it's at now. And we still have city commissioners that are trying to kill the project. You know, they've openly told me, hey, we're going to the AG's office. This hasn't been handled right. I don't want my name on it. And they're openly. So I honestly feel that we will never see a Family Fund Center now. So, any other questions?
Are they the ones that are holding this whole thing up then? They're the biggest?
I think some of the former ones that were voted out in this last election were trying to, and I think, you know, you've got some on there that were persuaded to run for this reason. And they're in office. They were successful getting in office. So, like I say, that's more of a city issue than a county issue. I mean, it would have benefited the county because it would have given a quality of life that county residents could have used also. I mean, everybody, you know, we talked to Brunswick on the issue. Everybody from the age of about 2 years old up to 99, 100 likes to bowl, you know. I mean, so it's all facets, you know, from 2 to 99. So like I say, I don't know the answer on that one. But is there any county-related questions? So, yes, sir.
It's county-related, but it's still on that. Personally, I don't feel it's a government function. That's a private enterprise function. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's county function to be mining garnets. Mm-hmm. And I would like to see the county shy away from broadening their scope by doing something, private enterprise might make money in.
Yeah, and like the Fund Center, private enterprise has looked at it numerous times, and the liquor license laws in New Mexico has what hindered that. You know, the only way for it to ever get here, that was my thing when I got on over there, is how do you get things when you have no people here? And you can't get anything because you don't have people, and you can't get people because you don't have anything here. So I'm against government funding stuff like that. But if government has to, the city government's the one that should do it, and that's why I push for this. And in about 10 years, once it starts moving and it's good and the economy around here starts growing, you sell it to private industry and you get the city out of it. You get government out of it. You know, there's lots of things in this area that we wouldn't have if the government didn't do it. You know, we wouldn't have a golf course. We wouldn't have a swimming pool. We wouldn't have parks. We wouldn't have anything. So as far as the Garnet Mine goes, that does need to be private industry. But on the other side of that, if they need a little bit of incentive to get here, looking at it from a business aspect, you know, if you got to put a couple $100,000 into them to get them here, that might be worth it in the return that you get from them. But we've been very unsuccessful over the years with government money funding various projects, so I would be a little leery. They'd have to have a very, very strong business plan if I'm elected in order for me to you know, go down that road and offer any kind of assistance from the government. So, yes, sir.
Kind of to what this gentleman was saying, I'm pretty conservative myself. I don't think it's government's job to build bowling alleys for any reason. We don't have any money to do it, we have to borrow, we have to hawk our future in order to do something like that. Secondly, moving into referring to it as a quality of life issue, as a conservative, it's my job, or as a citizen, isn't it our job to make ourselves happy and not government's job to try to make us happy?
It is to a point. You know, my theory behind it is I had members of the public that had came, you know, we had discussed it. And I mean, I started this process in 2010, 2011. So, I mean, it was a very lengthy process when I was over there. But like I told you, if any government entity should be doing it, it should be city government. When you get into county and state, they have no business doing anything like that. It's health, safety, and welfare, and that's all they should be doing. But city government is, it's a totally different type of government. You have to provide those services. You have to have roads. You have to have water lines and sewer lines and that kind of stuff, and that's quality of life. And I do feel that government, city government's role, it is. That is infrastructure, but it's still for your quality of life for living in the city. So, but you know, that's my personal belief is if it is city government, it's a quality of life issue, and because that's their role. That's what they collect all the extra taxes for, to provide all those extra services that people want that reside in the city. But when you get outside those city limits, and you have your, you know, your county and your state government, no, you know, they need to provide your roads, they need to provide your firefighters and your sheriff's office, and you know, your dog catcher and all the normal things that need to happen. But you know, the county shouldn't be funding any of that stuff. Period. So, anything else? So, I thank you guys for having us tonight, and I respectfully ask for your vote on June 7th. Thank you.
All right, is there any other questions or comments? Would you like to say something, Laura?
Yeah, Laura's running. She needs to get up top.
Absolutely.
She's on the ballot.
Laura Whiteside.
Hello. Oh, sorry. I've spoken to most of you already, but I just, for those who haven't met me, my name is Laura Whiteside. I'm running for Otero County Treasurer. I was born and raised here in Alamogordo, New Mexico. I've been married for 18 years, and I have two children. I've worked in the county treasurer's office for 8 years, and I've been trained by the best, Kathy back there. She's taught me everything I know. Just a couple of my beliefs. I believe that continuity and experience are important in these administrative offices. We don't set policy. We actually manage and run the office. And I think that experience and institutional knowledge is important to avoid costly mistakes. Another thing I'd like to talk to you all about is, as I've been out talking to people, they've talked about a movement that's going on about getting these offices like the clerk, the treasurer, the assessor, to become appointed positions versus elected positions. And I just want to talk to you about why I don't think that's a good idea. If these positions become appointed by the state or by the county commission, you will lose your advocate, someone that you can come talk to. Whenever issues arise, you'll have someone that is not loyal to you as a taxpayer, but will be loyal to whoever appointed them. So I think it's important just to keep these offices in the hands of the people and elected by the people. I am unopposed in the primary election, well, in both elections, and I don't take your support for granted, so I just would like to ask for your vote on June 7th. Thank you. Question?
Yes, ma'am. How long does the county keep payroll records of employees?
I don't know. 7 years? I would be a guess. I don't. You know, Kathy, we don't do payroll on the we just collect taxes. More than 7 years?
Well, the reason I ask is I'm having trouble getting my payout.
Your para?
Because the county can't find my records.
Oh.
I've only been gone 5 years.
Oh, yeah, they should have them.
I agree.
Sounds like the commission needs to make some policies about that.
Are there any other questions? I'm sorry I wasn't able to really answer you.
No, it's okay.
No? All right. Well, thank you all.
Thank you.
Anybody else have anything, announcements, anything going on other than June 7th? Am I forgetting anything? All right, well.
Going back to the cattle problem in Bancroft, the whole top of that mountain used to be owned by Oliver Lee. And in 1908, when the Forest Service came in, there was special law written in arrangements. The water rights and the grazing rights are a property. The timber rights are a owned property or were. They've got away from that now, and the mineral rights were an owned property, and that's called the tri-estate. And what the problem we got now is they're fighting, they've lost their lumber mills up there, so all they're fighting is cattle. There used to be a flagstone quarry up there, that's minerals. There used to be coal mines in West Virginia, that's minerals. So we got the ranchers fighting, and they're off doing their own little thing. And we got the foresters fighting because trees are a renewable resource, and that forest up there is in the worst shape it's ever been. And then you got the mineral rights, and that's called the tri-estate. And I would like to see all three of those groups start fighting together.
I would too. Absolutely. All right. Well, thanks for coming. And y'all have a safe trip back home and up the mountains and everywhere you're going. Thanks for coming.